In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Psalm 4, our introit, the psalmist, from the point of view of the Lord, asks of men, "How long shall my honor be turned into shame?" But of the Lord, the psalmist declares, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself." Men turn honor into shame, taking whatever God has given as good and completely rejecting those good things. Yet the Lord graciously desires to give those good things to men. The Lord's will to set apart the godly and gather them to himself is so strong that the Lord sends men to bring this beautiful word of grace even when men naturally reject that word. God sees his Old Testament people, the people of Judah. God wants to bring his people closer to him, as God loves his people. God does not want to see his people stray, because if his people stray, they will be sent off into exile, away from God, away from his good things. How shameful it would be for the kingdom of Judah to have God give them so many good things, yet they turn their backs on God and do what ought not to be done. The word of God is a powerful net. It gathers in men wherever it is preached. So God sends his word to the kingdom of Judah. That word must come through a mouth. So God provides the mouth, Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." The prophet is sent to speak the word, not just any word, but a word with divine command and with dominical authority. "Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them." Gathering the people back to God is a serious business. Jeremiah must call sin, sin, lest the people die in their sins. Such preaching comes at a cost. The people rebel against God, but they take out their anger against the Lord's prophet, against Jeremiah. Jeremiah preaches, "Turn from your evil deeds," but they do not. They get angry. They put the sentence of death upon the one who preaches the life-giving word from the Lord. Because Jeremiah has been sent by God, and because Jeremiah has faithfully executed the task for which the Lord sent him, Jeremiah allows the violence. Crosses are made for killing. You will bring innocent blood upon yourselves. Whatever they do to Jeremiah, the Lord, who knew him before birth, will care for him after death. Jeremiah reiterates the imprimatur that he has. "In truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." The people and the officials finally relent. They spare Jeremiah, at least this time, perhaps in a short-lived time of their own repentance, but it was short-lived. There was another prophet who came, Uriah, and Uriah spoke the same words as Jeremiah, the same words that Jeremiah spoke from the Lord. So Uriah was threatened with death, and he fled. He was chased down to Egypt, and then he was brought back to Judah, only to be killed by the king of Judah. The people did not learn. The people would not be gathered to the Lord, as much as they would rebel, and so they would be scattered in shame. Jesus comes to his own people. Surely he brings the word of the Lord. The scripture is fulfilled in their hearing. Jesus is anointed to bring good news to the poor. He proclaims liberty to the captives, to free them and gather them all together. Jesus speaks the word from God, the word that brings life, the word that calls sin, sin. And the Pharisees have been on the receiving end of the latter. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. The Pharisees have no concern for the safety and well-being of Jesus. They just deliver that message from the ruling official. Herod is after you. He wants to kill you. No surprise. Herod was too in love with his own earthly authority and rule. He had no time for heavenly things. Herod's word was the absolute rule of law in his mind. Jesus has come to the people to gather his people together, but the Pharisees want to send Jesus away from his people, sending his word away from the people. So Jesus tells the Pharisees the gracious work that he is doing. Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. The demons have snatched God's people away. Satan is the strong man who has brought the whole world into his possession by his lies, his deceptions, his murders. The devil always opposes the word of God and works to destroy every place where the word of God is preached and taught. Without God's word, the people are scattered. So Jesus binds up the strong man. Jesus binds up Satan. The devil has no power when Jesus is around. The word of God casts away the devil. The devil must flee. Jesus cast out the devil by the finger of God, the word, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now the devil's kingdom is overthrown as demons are cast out. Now the people who were snatched by Satan, they're now gathered together by Jesus. This gracious work that Jesus is doing will soon earn him a spot in the long line of prophets who are killed at Jerusalem. Sickness and disease have always plagued mankind since the fall. They are a reminder that death is on its way, and death will always have its way. Sickness and disease ought not be in God's creation. One day they will not be in the new creation, but now bursting into this fallen creation, Jesus comes with this gracious work. He cures diseases. The reminder that death is on its way is undone as Jesus grants the gift of healing. And every healing is a reminder that death will be undone by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the healer must first go to his own death. Jesus does not flee from Herod as a coward, seeking to preserve his own life. He must go his way. Jesus speaks the word of the Lord, and then Jesus must die in Jerusalem, as did so many prophets before. God acted honorably. God sent his gracious word of life to his people. But his people turned that gracious work into their own shame, rejecting even violently what God sends. For every preacher of the word, there is a cost. Calling sinners to repentance is dangerous business. That word of law, that mirror that shows us our sins, that mirror is often rejected by hearers. Who wants to hear about their own sins? A preacher may be well received if he talks about the other guy's sins, but Jeremiah pointed out the people's own sins. Jeremiah tells the people, God sent his word to you, you of all people, you, the kingdom of Judah, you of all people on earth, receive God's law so that by doing it you would live. You of all people, God redeemed from Egypt with a mighty hand to save you, yet you do not listen to the word of the Lord. Therefore, you will have your reward. Your land will be desolate. Such is the danger of disregarding the word of God when it is spoken in admonition. When God says to turn from your sin, he says so because sin is dangerous. Sin destroys. Sin separates man from God. No sin is a light sin. This call to repentance is an urging to turn from your sinful life immediately. Stubbornness is no virtue when that stubbornness refuses to turn and repent. The word of God gathers in men as a net gathers. Jesus speaks this word, and he does this gracious work to gather in his people as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. The Lord must go on his way. He has set his face toward Jerusalem. Our Lord must bind the strong man. He must put an end to death. He must be killed in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's house is forsaken once again. They must kill the prophet. Violence arises against Jesus. Jesus is put before the chief priests, questioned, accused. Before Pilate, Jesus is found no guilt. Then Jesus goes before Herod, again, mocked. So much so that Herod and Pilate became friends that day on account of it. Finally, Jesus is brought before the people and they yell, "Crucify him, crucify him. This man deserves the sentence of death." Jesus allows the violence. Only know for certain that if you put this Jesus to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves. And so this innocent blood comes upon the people. The people bring shame upon themselves by killing the one who comes in the name of the Lord, who comes with grace, who comes to gather them in. And so the innocent blood does come upon them. That innocent blood covers up their shame. That innocent blood gathers in men as that hen gathers in her brood. The word that calls men to repentance is heeded. You too heed that call to repentance. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and the Lord gathers the godly to himself. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for certainly around the Holy Supper, the godly gather. And then that final gathering, when Jesus comes in the sight of all, as ruler of all, in the name of the Lord, he comes to gather his people together into his kingdom of glory. May that day come swiftly. Amen.